Lord, as your people who are here in America, help us to tell others about Jesus. Help us to share with them the good news that Jesus saves and that their lives can be changed and transformed. So, Lord, it is good for us to be together today. We pray for those who are our soldiers, those who are our government officials. We pray that you would be with them all today and bless them. And may you speak to their hearts and show them, turn their hearts in the ways that you would have them to accomplish your purposes for this country. We pray that you might help us to serve you faithfully as your people here in the United States of America. Now, Lord, we ask that you might help us to hear your word today and that we might be faithful to be doers of your word, not hearers only. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be together and the sweet fellowship we enjoy in this place. Now, Lord, bless this time, and we thank you, Lord, for our salvation in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to go to the Old Testament and find Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Find the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Old Testament. And today we're continuing to think about some of what God's Word has to say to us about our families. And we've been talking about this all summer long, as for me and my house. And today we will talk about this very important subject. As for me and my house, we will teach our children and our grandchildren to love God and obey Him. So we're glad you're here on this 4th of July weekend. God bless you. I'm Pastor Mike. Please come by. My wife, Pat, and I'd love to meet you today. Before I get into Deuteronomy, while you're finding your place, prayer camp, family prayer camp, is coming up in August. And I don't want you to miss that. August 4th at Hillmont Camp. If you have babies, bring your babies with you. If you have children, you can leave them here at the church, bring them by, and Pastor Ken's going to have a very special time for them. We're going to have our second prayer camp of the year. We really want to invite you to come and be with us. You can sign up at the back. You can sign up online, and there's information in the bulletin. I really want to continue to emphasize to us all the importance of being a part of prayer camp, and we'll talk to you some more about it as we get along in the month of July. So I want to begin by asking you to a show of hands here. No, in fact, I'm going to have you just stand up. It's easier, and that way you can keep the blood going. You won't go to sleep on me this morning. If you are a parent, would you stand up, please? All parents in the room, please stand. Balcony and below. All right. Now remain standing. Now, if you're a parent and a grandparent, would you remain standing? All the parents, be seated. Parent and grandparents. All right. If you are a great-grandparent, all the grandparents and parents can be seated. Great-grandparents. Look around. Look around. All right. Be seated. Great-grandparents. Are there any great-great-grandparents in this room in here today? Great-great-grandparents. Nobody made the cut, but oh, your day's coming. Your day's coming. So one of the most important things we can talk about is the understanding our responsibility as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents to the next generations. And in our church, we're blessed with many, many children and of all ages. Some of our people are just starting out with their first child, and others have gone through, seen their children grow, have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Now I'd like for you to show your hands. If you're a parent and your children are under the age of 18, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Look around. Raise your hand. If your children are under the age of 18. All right. Now, if your children are over the age of 18, you can do it like this. Raise both hands like this. There you go. Okay, now I know who's in this crowd. Good. Did all you parents with under 18 see all those hands go up, double hands? All right. So the importance of the next generation is before us all. We all have an obligation, responsibility to our children, whatever their age, and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So today we go to a very familiar passage in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses gathered Israel together and gave them these famous words, Deuteronomy 6, for the Jewish world is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. It is the words called, Hear Israel, Listen Israel. So Moses gathered all of Israel, men and women, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, all the children and the students of the age, all the ages, all the multiple generations were to hear these words. So this morning, even if you're here and you do not have children, these words are important for you to understand because they help us understand the obligation and responsibility of parents and grandparents for helping children learn to love God and obey Him. Today we're not going to talk about parenting styles and techniques. There are lots of great places you can go for help with that. Focus on the Family, other great, great places that have so many helps. And my responsibility is to remind us again of these very important words that God has given us about all of us who have living children and grandchildren, of the importance of teaching them to love God and obey Him. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's Word. And we begin reading, and I'll begin reading in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Now, I don't have these additional verses on the screen, but if you have your copy of God's Word, go to verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean, which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Heavenly Father, now we stand before you as parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents with a lifelong obligation and assignment to teach our children and our children's children to love God and to obey you. How we ask that today, as we think about these words, you would challenge us with whatever else we do as parents and grandparents, whatever else we do, and we do many things for our children and grandchildren, may we not forget our obligation, our absolute obligation as followers of Jesus to the next generations to teach them to love you and obey you. May my words honor Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as we think about these words today, we think about our responsibilities as parents and grandparents. I want to make three observations from these words in the book of Deuteronomy. I want to use these words because they're important for us to establish an obligation we all have. Some of us think, well, you know, when parenting's finished and my kids are grown and they have grandchildren, I'm finished with parenting. No, you're never finished with parenting as long as your children are alive. It changes for those over 18 as they get to be adult children, but you still are their parents. Today, my words are not new words to most of you who are here today. I'm looking around. I know you all and I love you in Jesus. And you're my friends and I'm your friend and God bless you for it. But we're going to come back to these sound, important words for our new parents and our new grandparents and our new great-grandparents. These words help us to frame a simple picture of what it is that we must do all of our life for our children and grandchildren. And you may say, oh, I did a bad job when I was a parent and they were little. You can always change that when they're older. So first, I want you to see this morning that we have an obligation to show, to demonstrate, to be an example to our children and grandchildren of how to love God. Notice again what Moses says in verse 5. You, Israel, he brought them all together. Now we're gathered together in this place. I'm asking all of you, the same as Moses, to take this challenge. Do you love the Lord God? Do you live your life loving God? Is your life caught up? Are you aware? Are you in love with the Lord? Are you in love with the Lord Jesus? Are you thankful and grateful for all that He does? You shall love the Lord your God. Where does parenting and grandparenting begin from God's point of view? It's in your relationship with God. You can't ask your children or grandchildren to do something you do not do. Do you love God? Do you love God in your senior years with a greater love than you loved God in your younger years? Do you love God? And do your children and grandchildren know that you love God? This word love in the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew language, has to do with obedience. It's loyalty. It's not emotional, syrupy emotion. It is the picture of loyal obedience. Do you love God with loyal obedience? Let me remind us all who are followers of Jesus here. Here's the way Jesus helped us with this word love. He said, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll do what I say. How do I know if I love God? How do I know in my life if I express love for God? I want to do what God says for me to do. I want to do what Jesus has commanded me to do as a follower of Jesus. When I become a follower of Jesus, I confess Him as Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead and I'm saved and my life is changed. But then my allegiance changes. I don't do what I want to do. I now do what the Lord wants me to do. So I ask you this morning, do your children and grandchildren know that you love God? Do they know it? Can they see it in you? The good news is, if they don't, you can always change. You can always become one of those who loves God. Now, when we think about loving God, how do we show this? You know, have you ever been to show and tell when you were in school? You know, show and tell. You bring something to school and you show it and then you tell about it. Well, this is what we all do every day of our life with our children and our grandchildren. When you're with your children and your grandchildren, did you know they're watching your example? They're paying attention to everything you do? Why, our granddaughter, just this last week, my daughter-in-law, she works for the school system in Sumner County. She's on break, and they're preparing to go on vacation as a family, and they're talking, and our little granddaughter's 4 years old, Libby. So she goes to a preschool during the week, and so she told her dad, they've been talking about vacation, going on vacation. She told her dad Friday, Dad, I am not going to school. I'm on vacation. Little ears listen. Little eyes watch. Big ears listen and big eyes watch. Whatever else you may say for your kids to do, whatever else you give your grandkids advice about, do they know that the one speaking to them loves God? Oh, by the way, let's read it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. No split allegiance in your life, parents and grandparents. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, everything inside of you, all the emotions, and all the devotion and passion of your heart and your will and your desires, all bound up in loving God. You are caught up and saturated in your mind and heart and will with loving God and obeying Him and with all your might. You love God with all your might. Whatever else your parent, your children and your grandchildren see in you as parents and grandparents, they see that kind of love for God. So I ask you today, do you pray with your children and grandchildren? You say, Pastor Mike, why would you have to ask such a thing? I'm not condemning. I'm just asking some questions today to help us all as we think about our house. Is there a time to pray? Are there ways in which you pray? You pray together. You pray with those little ones. You pray with those big ones. Look, just because your children are grown doesn't mean you don't pray with them. How do you structure things in your life? You see, this passage is all about two things that parents and grandparents must remember: time and routine. Time and routine. Do you read God's word with them? Do they know that you have God's word? Do they know you have God's word? Do you go to church with them? Have you ever done any projects with them? Mission projects? Work together on something together as a family? Look, this first point is about this. There is nothing more powerful than a personal example. Someone has to see what it looks like for somebody to love God. And the Lord begins not in the church house, but in the family house, with parents and grandparents practicing in their life loving God. You say, well, my mate doesn't love God. That doesn't change your obligation as a follower of Jesus to love God. So number one, show your children and grandchildren how to love God. Number two, we learn from this verse that we're to teach our children. This word teach in the Hebrew language is actually the word that means to repeat. So you repeat. You repeat these words. Read it with me there in verse number 7. You shall teach. You shall repeat these words. You shall speak about these words. Notice in verse 6. These words which I am commanding you shall be on your heart, and you shall repeat these words. I have it here in my hand. Some of you are holding it. These words, right here in this book, you're to repeat these words over and over. It is the idea of repetition. We have teachers and educators in our church. They know the importance of repetition and a routine in the practice of teaching and learning. You shall repeat them diligently. Not part of the time, all the time. As you love God with your whole heart, and as your children see and your grandchildren see that you love God, then you start talking about over and over this blessed book and the Word of God. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. Notice the routine. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When we gather with our families, we talk about a lot of things. We have a lot of fun when we gather with our families. But do you ever include God's Word when you're with your family sitting around the house? You're going to have an opportunity. 4th of July is just a few days away. You shall talk about these things repeatedly when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, in your schedule as you go together with your family and your children and grandchildren. You grandchildren, you grandparents, when you have a chance with your grandchildren and they're riding in the car, you got them. What do you say about the Lord and His Word? About something that you've read? You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you get ready to go to bed, you're talking about God's Word. When you get up in the morning, you're talking about God's Word. Paul said to Timothy, these are very familiar verses to many of you today. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you. Listen to the generational language here. I am mindful, he's writing to his beloved Timothy, his fellow preacher. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. From childhood, Timothy, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ. Oh, I ask you today, how are you teaching your children and grandchildren God's Word? How do you instruct them? How do you repeat God's Word? So I brought my show and tell today. So in 1967, my grandparents and my parents gave me this Bible. Yes, I was alive in 1967. So just because there's some smart alecks in here who will add it up, that was 51 years ago. And this Bible has been with, look, I've carried this thing all over the United States. I've moved all kinds of stuff around, but it's got my name on it. They gave me this Bible. Some of the first places when I was with my family and when I went to church, the church and my family helped me learn how to mark my Bible. And Pat told me not to get on a rabbit trail right here at this point. She knew I was going to talk about this, but I'm going to say it because I have some younger friends that told me that the trains left the station on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I believe every boy and girl ought to have a real Bible with their name on it. All right? Now, I didn't want you to do it to clap. It's great if it's on a pad. It's great if it's on a tablet. I know some of you bring your tablets in here so you can check sports when the sermon gets boring. I get all that. I understand all that. I know you read from all those tablets and all the rest of it, but let me tell you something. Just because a Bible's on a tablet, that makes it feel a lot like every other book. There's no book like this book right here. None. So everybody needs one of these. We have a little girl in our church. She just got her Bible. She's in 10 years old. And now they put Bibles in a little cover, cardboard holder. She brings that Bible to church, and she'll be here next hour. She brings her Bible in that cardboard box cover. She doesn't want anything to, she certainly doesn't want to look like old Pastor Mike's Bible here. She wants to take care of that Bible. That Bible's special. That Bible has her name on it. She'll sit in here, bless her heart. She'll have that Bible out. She'll open it up. She'll find Deuteronomy today. She'll read it along with us, and she'll make some notes as best she can at her age. And then she'll put it back in her cover and she'll take it home and she'll keep reading it. You know why? Guess what? My grandparents and parents opened this book with me and they read it with me. And there's not a one of you in this room that can't do that. You know what? Maybe your older kids need you to get them a Bible again. Maybe you grandparents need to give your grandchildren a Bible. A real Bible. It has pages, it turns, and it even has a smell to it. You can't do that with your tablet or your phone. So if I'm going to teach my children, if I'm going to teach my children in the routines of life, maybe I need to read a proverb and memorize the Bible with them and have it as a project. I've mentioned to you before, my father took one proverb a week and he put it on the refrigerator door. Everybody went to the refrigerator. He stuck it on there for a reason. And, you know, for the life of me as a little kid, I couldn't figure out how in the world he always picked the right proverb for all of my mean sisters. And I'd tell them, look, there's something on the refrigerator Dad left for you to read. You can find your own ways to do it. I just want to ask you again today, with everything else we do for our kids and grandkids, and my, we do a lot. We do a lot. There's not any amount of money. There's not any amount of place we'd go. There's not sacrifice we'd make. But do they know you love God? Do they know you obey God? Do they know that you are in love with the Word of God and that you read it? And I love it because some of our people bring their grandkids to church. Look, bring your grandkids to church with you. Let them see what their grandparents do when they come to church. This leads me to the last thing. Because, notice what Deuteronomy 6:20 says. They're going to start asking questions when you talk about God. When your son asks you in time to come. Did you catch this? The questions are all about God's Word. Look at this. When your sons ask you in time to come, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean? Why do we have to do all of these things? Which the Lord our God commanded you. You know, when boys and girls come to church, they ask, well, why does the man stand up there and preach from the Bible? That's a good question. Why do we have a choir? And why do they sing? And why do we do what we do? Those are good questions. Why do we have Sunday school and vacation Bible? Why do we go to church? Why are these things important? Somebody needs to tell their stories. Listen, I want you to hear me. Did you see this here? The answer to the question is, we were slaves. You weren't born, but we were slaves. And God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You weren't born, but God did miraculous signs before our eyes. Listen, this is important what I'm about to say to you. You must be willing to tell your spiritual stories to your children and your grandchildren. Oh, they've heard all the rest of the stories about your family. But they need to hear about who in your family have been the praying people of your family. Who in your family have been the followers of Jesus in your family? You say, Pastor Mike, there aren't any. Good. Then you tell them, we're the first generation to follow Jesus. You tell them your spiritual story. You tell them how you got saved. And oh, by the way, you tell those boys and girls how to be saved. You tell them how to come to Jesus. One of our young men told me one time, said, look, I don't know how to tell my children about Jesus. I said, all right, then we hand out tracts all the time at the church. You take that little simple tract, How to Make Peace with God, and just read it with your children. You see, you have some stories to tell that are spiritual. They've heard all the other stories. Remember, big ears and little ears hear. Big eyes and little eyes see. So today, as for me and my house, we will teach our children and grandchildren to love God and obey Him. You see, the last part of this passage is telling stories about, this is important now, how we obey God. So this morning, as you think about your life, as you think about your own example with your children, I'll give you one other verse just to think about and consider as we leave. Ephesians 6:4 says this, and it's not just to fathers. It's to moms and dads and grandparents. But it reads, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But bring them up. This phrase in the New Testament has to do with nurture. Nurture them in two things. In the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Daddy, mama, why did this happen in our family? Well, because God has allowed it, and this is what we learn from hard things that God allows. Grandma and grandpa, why did my mother or dad divorce one of the others? Well, there's your chance. Discipline and instruction of the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And your obligation as well as mine to our children and our grandchildren, regardless of their age, there is no time when you stop doing this until you're dead. You will show them how to love God by personal example. You will teach them to love God's word and to read it and obey it from personal example. And you will tell them how God has blessed you all the days of your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so for all the families who are here today, Lord, we have some who are here today who think their family life and their parenting has been a failure. Lord, help them to see that we do the best we can. Encourage them today. Give them new ideas about how they might speak to their own children. Lord, give all of the grandparents who are here today, and I include myself in that, give us the understanding of what we can do to help our grandchildren or our children's children to love God, to love God's word, and to obey God all the days of their life. Forgive us. We confess our sins and our family and in our parenting and our grandparenting when we've not focused our time to include you in all that we do. But may every one of us be challenged today to do what you've called us to do, to teach our children to love God and obey Him. Now, while you have your heads bowed, perhaps you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, or recently you've prayed to receive Christ. In just a moment, people ask me all the time, well, how do I come and join the church? Here's how you do it, friend. This is our way. We stand, we sing, and while we're standing and singing, you come forward and you take one of the pastors by the hand, say to them, look, this is what I'm coming to do. I'm coming to be saved, or I've been saved recently. I need to follow Jesus and be baptized as a believer. I need to join this church. That's what you do. That's the way you start. So today we pray that God would give you the courage to make the decisions you need to make. Let's stand together. We sing this song. We couldn't sing a better song. God, give us Christian homes. While we're singing, if you need to come, you come on. Come on.